Going to have Trey Watkins in the studio here.
Trey, are you a dog person?
I am. I have two dogs.
Okay. What kind?
I have a schnoodle and I have a cockapoo.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm assuming you didn't pick either of those.
Believe it or not, I did.
Did you really? Okay. Yeah.
He's got depth.
Good for you.
I had neither idea or no intentions of buying a puppy. And then I walked in and just fell in love with the little puppies.
This is not cool.
This is not good.
So I have a new rule of just not going in pet stores anymore.
Oh. Well, that's probably a good one.
Yeah. I just can't go in.
Yeah, I, of course, most of mine are rescue dogs, but there's a reason why I was never allowed to volunteer at the Humane Society. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of foster fails, so there's that going on. I'm just going to keep them for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fostering Buddy now for...
How long?
7 years.
7 years. That's a commitment. I think legally, Buddy's yours now.
Oh, he was mine the minute he stepped up into my car.
There you go.
And he knew it.
So we have a story. Biracial physician demoted after opposing critical race theory and Black Lives Matter. It is a Harvard-educated physician alleged she was demoted after her colleagues discovered her social media posts criticizing leftist movements and rhetoric. Dr. Tara Gastillo, who is a woman of color, claims she was demoted from her role as chairwoman of the OBGYN department. And
that sounds like a nice lawsuit waiting to happen.
It would appear.
She'd be good for her.
And she's biracial, so she's a woman of color, and she's a woman. Well, yeah.
And she. Mm-hmm. Is yeah. of color,
mm-hmm.
and she has gone to the efforts in her life and the dedication and the discipline to become a doctor,
right,
at Harvard, and now she's being canceled because she dared go against their talking points.
Yeah, they didn't like her opinion, mm-hmm. and she has, they claim that she was late to the meetings, poor communication skills, and was generally unfit to serve as the chair, is what her colleagues are saying.
So was she like that before they found her social media?
It appears that they didn't.
Hmm.
According to this article.
All right, help me understand, Trey. Do your thing.
Yeah, they're full of crap. They know goodness well it was about the worst thing.
Right.
It's coming from experience and just understanding how being in those dynamics and how you're treated for thinking differently or thinking independently,
mm-hmm.
you develop a very good sense, of the social dynamics of it. And it wasn't an issue and a problem, obviously, until they went on our social media and saw how she really felt about, some of these hot topics. And so I have no doubt in my mind that's what it is.
Why do you think it is that, and you've talked about this a little bit on the show before, as you were coming up, growing up and becoming a young man,
mm-hmm.
You experienced your own level of, I don't know what the phrase is that you want to use, but criticism,
mm-hmm.
from within your community for some of the choices that you made as far as your education. And you were basically accused of trying to be white, if I'm not mistaken, or something to that effect.
Yeah, I mean, that's just typically how it goes. I went through many different challenges, similar to that, but in other ways. But it's a, a crab in a bucket syndrome. It's everyone's, it's very little resources and a lot of people trying to figure out how to get it done. And often, things don't get done the way you want it to get done because when people are presented with what it takes to get things done, they tend to back away. When it comes to politics and tearing each other down for thinking differently, it's I don't want to say it's brainwashing, but it's obviously a lot of the media plays a very large role. And it couldn't be more obvious now. Because we're getting evidence that people are just starting to see it for what it is, and they're turning their back. And that's why I feel like the Democratic Party or these, progressive leftists are being so aggressive in their approach, because they feel their grip loosening up, you know, and they don't have that.
People are thinking independently.
They can't have that. So they have to reinforce by any means necessary. And no matter how ridiculous it sounds.
To bring people down.
Yeah. And we all know it's the typical playbook and agenda. You know, they go straight for race. I literally heard someone say the other day that if you refuse to get the vaccine, you're a racist. And I'm like, wait.
if you refuse to get the vaccine, you're a racist?
If you're an anti-vaxxer, so-called, right? Uh-huh. Or if you just don't want to get the vaccine, then you're a racist. That has nothing to do with race.
Because you're trying to kill the black community?
I have no idea. It didn't even make sense. It's the same thing with what happened on January 6th. I'm like, I'm so lost at how race has anything to do with this. And I've seen so many people in the news or just on social media talk about race when it came to that day. And I'm like,
what are you talking about? Yeah.
Really had absolutely nothing to do with race. When you turn on the TV, you certainly could see that. But, you know, one of the Capitol officers might have been called out of his name, which is disgusting, right?
Right.
But
and it's
overall,
always been disgusting, and yeah, it'll always be disgusting.
There's thousands of people there. I don't care what group of thousands of people you put anywhere. There's going to be some kind of comment like that made if there's a lot of tension and an environment like that. But it's just.
I find it fascinating that they're using that whole "you're racist if you don't get a vaccination" when there has been a real struggle to get the black community to even trust the government and to trust medical communities to even get the vaccine. That's been the problem. Yeah. Is they don't trust the and with good reason.
And that's let me clarify. I think what they were saying was, if you're white and aren't taking the vaccine, it's like white privilege, basically. It's you exercising white privilege. And I was like, I guess. I mean, the group with the highest percentage, you know, of unvaccinated right. people is African Americans. You know, and they continue to push the narrative that it's a Republican thing or a Trump thing, and I'm like, it's so ridiculous. If Donald Trump was the president right now, those same people would be totally against vaccines. We know that for a fact.
Because Donald Trump helped develop and speed up the vaccine.
And when Trump was president, that's exactly what they were doing. They doubted it every step of the way, all the way up into the election. And then they've shown several comments. I remember watching the Pence-Harris debate, and Mike Pence just totally went into Kamala Harris. Right. Well, why do you continue to shame this vaccine and lower the public trust, with this vaccine? You know, it's,
when you have a higher calling to protect
it's like
the people.
Why wouldn't you? We're trying to solve this issue of COVID. Why are you downplaying the vaccine? And we're miraculously coming up with this vaccine, and you're doing everything to tear it down. And these same people are then trying to call you racist for not trusting the vaccine when they say they wouldn't trust the vaccine if Donald Trump was the president. That's what Kamala Harris said.
Mm-hmm. Right. And guess what? It's the same vaccine.
Yeah. As far as I know.
Oh my God.
It's the same Joe Biden that she called racist. Well, so like,
when we come back, I want to talk to you about a new, there's some podcasts out there that are kind of talking about some of the same things that we're talking about. We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. You're listening to The Morning Jam here on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Start your mornings on the right foot
and listen to The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m.
8:21, it's The Morning Jam. We got Trey Watkins in the studio. We bring Trey in to cover things like critical race theory and others because it's so much in the news, and it will continue to be in the news. It seems to be one of two topics that really have been lighting up the school board meetings across the state of Virginia and really across the country. That would be critical race theory and the whole transgender issue that we are now faced with because of what the state legislation did along with, as we call him, Lord Northam in the state of Virginia.
But we're talking about off the air. You know, how did we get to this spot? I was telling Trey about there's a podcast out. It's called Life as a Gringo, is the name of the podcast. And I was kind of fascinated by the name of that, about what that was about. And apparently, it's about an American-born Latinos who kind of live in this whole gray space, where their families, especially their families who don't live in America, literally call them gringos, tell them that they're too white, and then when they're in America, they're reminded that their house smells funny and they eat weird foods and your music is weird, and it's a life seen through the eyes of someone who feels at home in both places and yet home in neither place. And I think that's kind of a little bit about what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's the life of a black conservative, you know, so to speak. It's man, I'm like a unicorn in my family. You can imagine with my holidays
and magical
my conversations that I have with my family. You know, needless to say, they completely disagree with almost everything that I say.
Wow.
Now, is that your immediate family too, or mostly your
not my wife and kids, but much everybody else. And it's not we have healthy discussions,
which is good.
And they're at least willing to listen.
Okay.
But I'm never having that discussion with the hopes that I'm going to convert someone or change their point of view, and you know, it tends to get emotional. We're a very close-knit, you know, open family, and so, you know, we'll say things, and you know, but it's all and the you know, it's all fun. We're just trying to understand each other, and sometimes it comes from a place of, you know, health or just wanting them to know, you know, I'm like, hey, this, I wouldn't continue to listen to this person. You know,
I have people that I, in my life, that I'm really quite fond of that I just, and our heated conversations come from a standpoint of, I just don't understand how you can support this agenda.
Yeah.
How can you say you value the things that you value and then support that agenda? That's when things get really kind of heated up and worked up. And I'm sure that's probably the case with you.
Yeah, the BLM arguments get pretty tense. You know,
because some of that is very real. When you have experiences where you are automatically suspected of something because you're a black man.
Yeah, and I've had
that
experience. That
sucks. Of course you have.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's why they hate arguing with me, because I'm like, nah, I've had those experiences, and I know what I'm talking about, I understand both sides of that argument, you know, and I understand how you can get emotionally whipped up into a frenzy where you're no longer. It's no longer about facts. It's all about your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on that side of it where it's like, you know, and it's very real for people who believe that. But it's like when you take a step back and you see the puppet master and the media just kind of, you know, manipulating you and poking at you at very specific times, very specific years. You know, it's like it takes a while to see it. And, you know, people. Like I said, people want to hang on. They want to be a part of a group or a movement, or they feel the need to, you know, be a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And typically it's something that, you know, they're invited to or that appeals to them. And so once people are latching on, it's hard to get them off. And nowadays it's done so publicly, like on social media,
right?
To where even when you do run into that new information, you know, it's like that cognitive dissonance where you have strong beliefs and then you run into that information that totally conflict what you believe. Now you're at a crossroads. It's like, you know, do you take that new information and apply it and now, you know, change your perception and your beliefs? Or do you find a way to reject it, you know, so that you can hang on to those strong beliefs because they benefit you in some way, or you're just comfortable with, you know, with where you are? And that's really what it is. We just have a hard time letting go despite the evidence, you know. And I tell people that all the time. I said, man, I try to save face with a lot of people because, like, man, I could really argue you down into the dirt. Like,
right,
I have so much evidence against your argument.
Right. But is it worth doing it?
You know, and are they, you know, and I've had experiences where I've went that route, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And it just forced that person into a corner to be so defensive and fight back. And so.
Right. And because then if you try, my mother always said, if you try to rationalize with an irrational person, you're never going to, you're not going to get anywhere. We have a listener from Roanoke who wants to know if you have ever seen the show, the Netflix original called The Push.
I have not.
It talks about social engineering, which is basically brainwashing and creating environments where interactions condition someone to think and act a particular way.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, because I looked it up, it's a Netflix special, Darren Brown, The Push, where mentalist Darren Brown engineers an audacious social experiment demonstrating how manipulation can lead an ordinary person to commit an appalling act. Huh.
Oh, yeah.
I think maybe we're going to have to check that one out.
Yeah, definitely.
Because what we are seeing is a great deal of our society being manipulated and willingly being manipulated.
Yeah, by the masses. And it's willing, but it's I see it on both sides. It's like, on one end, I'm like, man, this is done very well to manipulate these people. But on the other end, it's like, they're doing a terrible job. Like,
and
Joe
you're
Biden.
Still falling for it.
Yeah, and it's like, yo, it literally could not get more obvious than, you know, President Fauci and President Biden and Harris. It's like, and we saw this the entire election. It was so phony and such a bad act. But, you know, hatred is always going to, you know, outweigh the love, I guess.
Mm. You know, places like the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, who posted Dr. Tara Gastillo's article here. Organizations like that, I just ran across one Trey not too long ago that we're actually going to interview this gentleman. It's called the Free Expression Foundation. Mm-hmm. And their existence solely is so people will be able to have communications and share ideas, because it seems like if you've got the wrong idea, it can get shut down in a New York minute.
Oh yeah, and they're going to find every way they possibly can.
And our educational institutions were supposed to be places where those kinds of discussions happen. And I was talking to this gentleman named Thomas Caldwell. We're going to have him on our show here in the next week or so. How it gets shut down before it even starts, and Ann Coulter or Ben Shapiro shows up on campus, and the snowflakes have a meltdown to the point where they don't even allow, or if they were set up to speak in the big room, let's call it, where there could be 1,000 people, now they're relegated to a room that can hold 30 people, and there's security everywhere. I mean, the left wants to shut down speech.
Yeah, they want to shut down anything that's gonna develop America or keep America great, you know, or make us great again. It's you know, I look at the VMI situation, and it continues to be very frustrating. But the more I've thought about it, it's like, of course, why wouldn't they attack VMI? Mm-hmm. We produce, you know, independent, you know, strong, deep thinking, intelligent leaders of character. Why wouldn't they attack VMI? It makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
to destroy institutions like that,
you always take out, if you're in a bar fight, you always take out the big guy first.
Yeah.
That's just how that works.
Mm-hmm.
That's undermining 101. And of course, I think all of this, you mentioned a few minutes ago that this is a desire of people wanting to belong. And I think a lot of this we see from the breakdown of the American church, and the fact that people don't have that relationship with Christ anymore. The church isn't doing a very good job at reaching out to other people and helping them have that relationship. And people are always going to be searching to belong to something.
Yeah.
And if it's not something constructive and eternal,
right,
as that is the only thing that is, this is what we're left with.
Very true.
You know?
Trey Watkins, thanks for stopping in again on the Morning Jam.
No problem, as always, man.
If you caught part of Trey's interview, we're going to put it up on our SoundCloud. You can hear the whole thing later on this morning. Go to SoundCloud and just simply type in The Morning Jam on VTRN, and then type in like 729. That's today's date, and it'll take you right there. Trey, we'll catch you next week, bud.
All right, man.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.